book of Judges. Judges chapter 2. To the scripture that was read in our hearing, verses number 6 through verse 10. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Before we get into the lesson, I was asked to sing a song, and I try to honor that. My God is real. We want to sing the first and the last verse. There are some things I may not know, and there are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. Oh, yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. Well, my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, well, it's just like pure gold. Well, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you fell when Jesus was your sin away. Well, but since that day, oh yes, since that time, well, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. Oh, yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. Well, my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is just like pure gold. Well, my God is real for I feel him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. Well, my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, well, it's just like pure gold. And my God is real, for I feel him in my soul. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. I want to talk about seeds for the next generation. As we consider our theme for this quarter, faith, sowing generation to generation, which implies that we are preparing for the next generation of Christian leaders, mothers, fathers, and members. This narrative in the book of Judges reminds us what the children of Israel failed to do in a generation that followed a faithful generation. And I'm hoping by looking at what they failed to do, to plant seeds of what we should do in order to perpetuate faith and faithfulness in subsequent generations. I can remember as a teen, if only I had lived during biblical times, perhaps I would have a stronger faith. And I hope I'm not alone in that testimony. Some of us read of what happened in Bible times, and we thought maybe if I had seen that, I would be a better individual. If I were an eyewitness to the 10 plagues that beset Egypt, I don't think it would have taken me that long to tell the people, you go ahead and go. If I had seen the splitting of the Red Sea and been one of those who had walked on dry ground between two walls of water, I don't think I would have had so much trouble with understanding the concept of God when I was coming up. Or if I had received my daily portion of manna and quail, been in the buffet line that God prepared for his people, maybe I would be all right in my faith back then. And if I had been in that number when they came to the promised land, and as they walked the Jordan River, the Bible says with every step, the river rolled back like a scroll. And sometimes I wish I could have been walking with them in the river to see Jordan rolled back. Maybe I wouldn't have made some mistakes that I made along the way if I had seen some of that, those miracles. Maybe if I was fighting on the battlefield where Joshua said, put an emergency call to God and said, stand still, the sun and the moon in their place. I mean, sometimes when I was in those Bible class, I would imagine if I had been living then. When they said, if you have a rebellious, disobedient son, to take him out of the city and stone him with stones. Maybe I wouldn't have done some of the things I did to my mother if we had been living back there in biblical times. But somehow, with all they had experienced and been witnesses to, just a few generations away, the stories were still ringing in their ears. But yet, this generation is not called the greatest generation. These are not the baby boomers, generation X, Y, or Z. This is the generation that knew not the Lord. How could a generation rise up and not know the Lord? How could people privy to this kind of knowledge and witnesses of these kinds of miracle have the audacity to fail to remember God? And as I looked at this text, I found some implications here. One, it was implied that they were to know the Lord. If it says this generation knew not the Lord, it's implied that they were supposed to know the Lord. Each generation was to have a relationship with God. This was not a one and done type of experience. Being in a generation in a relationship with God was not just for old folk. Every generation was to know the God of heaven. God, when Moses met with the people of Israel in the plains of Moab before they crossed the Jordan River, he gave them this commandment in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 8. He says, put these words which I command you, let them be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Moses said, it's so important that your children know God. And it's your responsibility, mama, daddy, grandmama, granddaddy, it's your responsibility to teach them every opportunity that you get. We got a job to do. Look at Deuteronomy. I want to put Deuteronomy 31, verse number 10 through 13. And I want us to see Moses is commanding them before they go into the promised land. Watch what he says. Moses commanded them saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord in the place which he shall choose, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, that they may fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Verse number 13, and their children which have not known anything, and their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither you go over to possess. Moses, God through Moses, told them that every 7 years, for as long as they lived, they were to gather together in the place that God chose to hear, to learn. And this was to be a perpetual, continual, repetitive occurrence. Just as long as they lived, they were to gather at the place that God chose. And this type of their gathering is replicated in our gathering here this morning. Every 7 days, on the first day of every week, men, women, and children gather together in the place that God chose. God's chosen place is the church of Christ. And they gather, we gather here to know, to hear, to learn, to fear the Lord. God wants us to know him. And he wants each generation to know him. This is worship hour. It's really not all about us. The reason we gather here is so that we can learn, so that we can know, and that we can fear. That means that we reverence, we respect, we honor the God that we serve. I know, and I want to be careful, but I know you want them to play with that. You want to keep them occupied. But this is the time where you occupy them with their minds on God. This is the time where when we sing, you tell them you can sing right along with us. When we pray, you can put your little hands together and bow down and pray. Why should they do it? Why should you bother them? Because there's coming a time when I want them to know how to fear, how to respect, how to honor, how to show respect for God. So how does a generation come up and not know God? How can one forget God? I think we need to understand the process and definition of forgetting. Forgetting is the process of accidentally or deliberately failing to remember people, events, or ideas. Often when we think of forgetting, we think of accidentally failing to remember. We go to the store and we forget to get the eggs. I forgot to get the sugar. I forgot the milk. In other words, it was an accident. I did not intend to go into the store and forget the things that I came to get. And the older I'm getting, and the older you're getting, sometimes the more forgetting we do. But that's accidental forgetting. But sometimes there's a deliberate forgetting. We, as parents, see it from time to time when we tell our children, clean your room, and then we ask them about the things that they are to clean. And when we ask them, have you made up the bed? Oh, I forgot the bed that sits in the middle of the room that occupies most of the room. And perhaps it might be true that they accidentally forgot. But sometimes it could be deliberate in their forgetting. Brothers, we have been guilty of this from time to time when we want to see the end of the game and it's fourth quarter. We've been listening to it on the radio and we're trying to get to the house and we get a call to stop and go to the store and sometimes we forget. And the sisters know that you just didn't forget after I called you. Peter addressed this deliberate or willful forgetting in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5. He's talking about scoffers. He says, for this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Some people willfully, deliberately, and purposely forget the word of God. See, when you choose to use language you shouldn't use, it is not that you forgot that the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It is just that you deliberately, it's not that you forgot that that person was not your spouse. Accidentally, you made a deliberate decision. Watch here in Judges chapter 3 and verse number 7. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 7. I want you to notice the Bible here. If you can, put it up on the screen. Judges chapter 3, verse number 7. If you can, put it up on there. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Notice now, it was not... See, when we think of forgetting, we think maybe it was by some accident. But you cannot accidentally forget God, the God who had brought them all this way. No, the Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served idols. So when they serve idol gods, it is the same as them as forsaking and forgetting the Lord God. They knew what Moses had commanded, but they made another choice. And see, that's the second implication of this text, is that having faith and being faithful is a matter of choice. In other words, it did not matter what they saw, what they heard, or how much they were exposed to. Nor does it matter if you and I live during biblical times. Faith is a matter of choice. Joshua told them, choose this day whom you will serve. You gotta make a choice this day. I like his urgency when he said this day, not someday, not one day, not Monday, but this day, choose. And I say to all of us sitting here in this audience this morning, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. And you got to choose this day, because you don't know what will be on tomorrow. And I'm hoping and praying that all of us have made the choice that we are going to be faithful in our generation. And if we're going to have another generation that will serve the Lord and be faithful to him, your children are going to have to choose. And in making that choice, there are some seeds that need to be germinated. And I'm not going to get to all of them. I'm still in my introduction. But there's some seeds that got to be planted in order for the next generation to have faith. And the first seed is that of listening to the mouth of God. The second seed is that of choosing to follow faithful, courageous, and victorious examples. The third one is to be surrounded by the right people. The fourth seed is to depend on the grace of God. And maybe sometime in this quarter, we'll plant some of those seeds. In Judges chapter 2, verse number 1, notice here. And an angel of the Lord came upon Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. Watch what he says. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And then the penetrating question, why? Why have you done this? See, we must understand that God gave Israel specific instructions through Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to have time to go there, but in Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 5, you can write it down in your notes. He tells them, when you go into the land that I'm going to give you, I want you to utterly destroy all the inhabitants. I want you to tear down all their altars. In other words, you are my agent for judgment, and I'm sending you in here to clear out all that idolatry. They went into the land of Canaan, and they were to utterly destroy every nation and people that dwelt there. But in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites, you just put Joshua 9 down somewhere. The Gibeonites deceived Joshua. They were neighbors. They were actually on God's hit list. But what they did was they pretended that they had come from a long journey. They took old sacks and wine bottles, put on torn and worn tattered clothes and shoes, and they brought moldy bread to make it look like they had come a long way. And in Joshua chapter 9, I'm going to have to go there. In Joshua 9, the Bible gives this commentary that when those people came to Joshua and told them, the reason we look like this is because we've come a long way. Look at our shoes. When we started, our shoes were brand new, but now they're worn. The bread we had was good, but now it's moldy. We've come so far. And then in verse number 14, and the men took up their victuals, and here it is, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Now, they made a covenant with them. They did not know that they were their neighbors. But here's what really got me. When Joshua asked them, why did you deceive us like this? Watch here. In verse number 24 of Joshua chapter 9, they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord God did what? Commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we were so afraid of our lives because of you. We have done this thing. Isn't that interesting? That here are the people who are not in covenant with God. No. They know the commandments. Moses been dead. Moses been gone. But yet they knew what Moses commanded God's people. All I'm saying is, we got to be careful who we hook up with and in league with. See, sometimes folk in the denominational world know what God has commanded. And then they come over here and look at us. And act like they know more than we. We got to be careful to when we know what God commands, that we do it because he commanded it. See, obedience is more than just doing what I say. True obedience comes from a heart that is willingly submitted to the person that they are obeying. In other words, see, that's why Paul says you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. God is not only just looking at what we do, he is looking at the heart that's doing it.
And see, this is what we got to know. We have to know that when God demands, that God demands and expects obedience from his people in every generation. Over and over again, God commands his people. He keeps telling them, even in Deuteronomy 32, he says, set your heart on all the words which I testify among you today. Command them to your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law. For it is a futile thing for you because it is your life. And by this word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. In other words, you need to obey and your children need to obey. When we choose a life of faith, what we choose is a life of obedience. And then he says there's some benefits to your days will be prolonged in the land. If you want God's blessings, he said, just obey me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with you. I know there's a lot of voices out there that are calling for our attention. You got the voice of political correctness that says you can't call anything sin.
Amen.
They're politically correct. They always put a spin. Oh, that's not shacking. That's cohabitation.
Amen. Go ahead, Bradshaw.
We are. What they call that if you've been living together and then they say you are. We are common law.
Amen.
I mean, that's politically. See, to call that sin. You're not being PC. And then I know there's the voice of tolerance that is saying to us, you right and I'm right. And whatever you do is all right. Just as long as it's right for you. And to tell people that they're wrong, you are insensitive, you are intolerant.
Work on it. Work on it.
If a man desires to be a woman, and you tell him that's not what God intended for you to be, you too judgmental. Who are you to tell what's in that person's mind? Who are you? I'm trying to tell you we got to obey the voice of God. And we got to teach our children to obey God's voice. But here's the thing. It's going to be hard to teach them to obey God's voice if they are not obeying your voice.
Okay.
Because ultimately, you are the teacher.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, you teach them when they walk by the way.
That's right.
So if you're not cultivating in them a heart of obedience, when you decide to teach them about God, they ain't hearing you. They ain't feeling you. You gonna try to talk to me about God. And then if we're not wholly obeying God, how will the next generation obey God? See, it all begins with obedience. If we could ever get, see, yo, you know what all these school districts want?
Amen.
Is some obedient children. That's, if there's a teacher, I know, you don't have to say nothing, but if they had some obedient children, oh, you would see suspensions go down. Disciplinary problems.
Amen.
Truancy officers. Amen. But we got to see it as our job to make sure that the next generation coming up behind us knows how to obey the voice of God. And if we could just plant that seed this week, we work, just tell them, children, we're working on obedience. We're working on obedience this week.
Come on, Doc.
And if husbands would learn how to just obey God. I don't care what she, I'm just going to love you because God told me to do it. The first seed is have obedience to the mouth of God. The only way we can hear God's mouth today is through God's spokesman. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. See, when you hear the Son, you hear the Father. You hear the voice of Almighty God. And everywhere that we read about what Jesus said, we hear God's mouth. We see his message coming through. And I heard Jesus say, if you want to be saved, you got to obey the mouth of God. Jesus says, no man can come to the Father except he come by me. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I don't care who tells you anything else. If it's not from the mouth of God, then it's not what God said. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Same words are going to judge us.
Amen.
In the last day. Now, I want to stand before the judgment seat of God knowing that I've done all I could. Amen. Do to hear his voice and obey it.
Amen.
You're here, you're not a child of God. Obey the simple plan that God has for salvation. That you would have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That you would believe in him, that you would repent of your sins, that you would confess Christ to be the Son of God, and that you would be buried in water for the remission of your sin. And then God will do what he said he would do and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit that you might be able to live a godly life in this present world. If you're a child of God, but you've been picking and choosing what you want to obey and what you don't obey, We need to stop that. Because God looks for obedience in every generation. If you're here, you stand subject to invitation. Come as we stand and as we sing the song that has been sung.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still,